You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Frieda Liu. It's time to raise your game. And much has been said about intelligence quotient and also emotional intelligence quotient. Well, now there's character quotient, and said to be the missing puzzle to maximum performance and productivity. And here with me is Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting and licensed character first trainer as we start the performance by character series. And let's start with IQ and what it offers.
Thank you very much, Frieda. It's good to be back again. When we talk about IQ and EQ and later on about character, the underlying factor why we are focusing on this is success. Because I believe in this segment, Raising Your Game, we are about achieving success. And the angle that I'm coming in today, it's what is really true success. And then I'm going to talk about how character would contribute towards that. I mean, if we start off with IQ, the intelligence quotient, IQ really has to do with the with our processing power, our reasoning, our problem-solving skills. And this is basically the first stage of success that we go through. We go through a phase where we acquire knowledge. And once we acquire knowledge, Frieda, we realize that knowledge must work within the context of relating to other people. And that's where, besides studying, we need social skills as well, being self-aware of our emotions and other people's feelings. And that's where Daniel Goleman's emotional intelligence writings came in 1995, to add on to that knowledge base when people want to be successful where they are.
All right, so there was IQ, where we've known for the longest time, and EQ with Daniel Goleman's book. And now there's character quotient, or CQ. So how did this evolve?
Well, I would say that it is a natural progression. I mean, for example, where I remember many years ago when I went for my job interview in IBM, the very first thing they had me to do was to take an IQ test, you know. But what I did was I did a lot of reading up prior to the interview. I went to MPH and gobbled down all the IQ books. And I remember going for the interview. I answered all the IQ questions. Some of the questions looked very familiar. So I was able to answer those IQ challenges with the knowledge that I've acquired. That helped to open the door. Mm-hmm. To cut the long story short, I got the job. But I do realize, Frieda, once I got into IBM, I never really need to put up my SPM, my STPM, and my university degree on my cubicle. No one seems to pay respect to the number of A's I got in SPM or STPM, you know. Somehow, the IQ part and a little bit of the EQ part got me the job. But once I am in the job, people seldom look at my IQ scores anymore. I wonder why.
You wish life was so simple, right?
Just that's look right. You know, and I find that when my manager wanted to consider me for the next step of success, which is called a promotion, he never asked to see my certificates anymore or my IQ score. He would basically ask questions like, is Joseph a responsible person? Right. Is he a person that takes initiative? Is he attentive to details? Is he flexible? Is he a determined person? Is he a diligent person? So you find, Frieda, as we progress up the ladder of success, so to speak, the questions get more and more personal.
Right.
It gets more and more character related.
Okay, it's very true. You know how we get in, open the doors, but as you move up, these were the things that were asked, attentiveness, trustworthiness.
Yeah, that's right.
And all these things as well.
Yeah.
So, but can you also develop character, or are you stuck with your ways, you know, as it seems to relate to values? You talk about how character and values are developed at a young age. You know, are you sort of stuck with that, with what you grew up with?
Okay. Well, there is a distinction. People typically get mixed up between character and personality.
Okay. What is the difference?
Yeah. Basically, personality, it's who we are in terms of our natural disposition. I mean, there are those who are naturally extroverts. Some might be a little bit more quiet. if we were to put two persons side by side, they would have different dispositions towards different character qualities. For example, if we talk about the character quality of patience, you and me compared against that character quality, you could be more predisposed towards this character quality because of the environment that you grow up in. And I might be a little bit further off in terms of my patience, but that doesn't excuse me from aiming towards that standard. It just shows that I've got a further way to go. I mean, if we talk about another character quality, attentiveness, for example, I may score higher than you because of the way that I was brought up. But character as a standard must remain the same. Character highlights the gap by which we need to grow. I mean, for example, if I were to hire someone to join me, imagine how it would be if this guy comes to me and say, Joseph, before I start work, let me warn you, I am not a responsible person, you know. I have this gene inside me called the irresponsibility gene. It actually comes from my kampong, everywhere I grow up. It's my father's fault. Please excuse me if I'm irresponsible. I mean, that sounds absurd, right? But if he comes to me and say, sorry, Joseph, I haven't memorized the Encyclopedia Britannica. I don't think I can participate in the quiz. I will excuse him because when it comes to matters of IQ and knowledge, that is something that you acquire. But when it comes to character, each one of us have the potential to rise up to that character quality standard.
Okay. Yeah. And also, I guess this whole interest in character, did it come about because of all the scandals in the corporate scene that people are now taking it more seriously?
I would say that is the surface, Freda, because a lot of the success and a lot of the leadership development efforts that's going on in the corporate side, I would say, are largely situational in nature, meaning that by and large, people are taught on how to adjust their styles according to the situation, according to what the customer wants. That may be fine for a moment, this situational approach, but in the long term, what we want is consistency. Let me just read out to you the definition for character. Mm-hmm. Character are the qualities built into an individual's life that determine his or her response regardless of circumstances. The key word here is regardless of circumstances. Though when it comes to intelligence and emotional quotient, we kind of tweak it according to the situation that we're in. Yet, when we look at a leader, when we look at a person who is successful, we are looking for something consistent in that person. We are looking for a person with a firm moral compass. We are looking for a person with certain fixed principles in life. We are looking at a person who would do what is right because it's right to do what's right. A person who would respond not out of fear or favor, but out of a sense of principle.
Right.
Yeah. So from that angle, that's where character comes in as the next defining layer of what constitutes true success.
And we'll talk about if we can evaluate a person's character before hiring in just a moment. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting, Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Frida Liu in Raise Your Game. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting and licensed trainer for Character First. We're talking about intelligence quotient, emotional intelligence quotient, and a newbie, I think, called character quotient. And this would be hopefully the final piece, you know, to maximum productive performance and productivity. And of course, you know, we've been talking about how they're all very important together. You know, IQ and EQ helping to open doors, but how you move on in life after that in the workplace or even personally depends on your character quotient as well. So can you actually evaluate a person's character before hiring, and how does this work?
That's a good question, Freda. In the training that I do with corporate manager and leaders, when I ask about the quality of the people they interview, and when I get a little bit personal and I say, have you fired someone before? Have you let someone go? And most of them would say yes. Then I would ask them a follow-up question. Think about the reasons why you had to ask that person to go. And most of the time, 60 to 70% of the time, it has to do with a character flaw. Either that person was not honest, that person was not punctual in meeting the deadline, that person was not diligent to finish the job. In most instances, the firing is due to character issue. Because if it's due to a lack of skill, but the enthusiasm and the eagerness is there, you can always send that person for more training.
Right.
So what happens in most of the case, if we are not conscious about the way we hire people, we tend to hire for skills and say, "Aiyah, never mind lah, you know, we have an urgent need for this warm body to come in. Let's just hire this person. The resume looks okay. We can work on the character later."
Huh.
Famous last words. You know, it's easy to bring someone in, but when the character is amiss, you find that it takes a lot of effort to do the reverse.
Okay, does it help then also to do reference checks to a certain extent, or is that not scientific enough?
Well, reference check would definitely help because in the interview process, most of the time you have that person's promises or claims to rely on. So it's very much like in a court of law. You know, the judge would not make a decision based on the testimony of one witness. You would probably want to get two or three other confirming witnesses. The rule of thumb is this. The more influencing that job position is, the more you need to be putting in favor of character when you interview that person. And reference check is obviously one of the things that you might want to do. Also, I've also encouraged companies to take the probation period very seriously. Do not let the new employee know that now that you are hired and it's smooth sailing from now on. I have encouraged HR managers and also operation managers to intentionally make life difficult for the employee during their first 6 months, you know, because nothing really tests a person's character than to observe their response when circumstances do not go their way.
Huh. Okay, but it's nothing to do with anger and stuff like that. It's that is more a personality thing. If a person, so you put them in situations where their character is tested.
Yes, because character really is a measure of a person's response. And not only just response, but a consistent response. Meaning, it's easy for me to smile at someone who smiles at me. But if someone barks at me, do I bark back twice as loud, you see? So if I can only smile when the whole world smiles at me, and my response is conditional upon other people's response, What I have is a victim mentality. I am not taking personal responsibility for my behavior. And that's not character. It is called a response, a reaction.
Right.
Anybody can respond and anybody can react, but it takes a person of character to choose a consistent response. For example, Aristotle once mentioned, anyone can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right way, that's not easy.
No. No. Nah, okay. Now, the other thing is also, you know, so there is a scientific method of actually measuring character.
Well, I would say that when it comes to measuring character, there are two things we need to do. One is we need to set a standard. And that's why I believe in this Performance by Character series, we'll be spending quite a number of weeks together going through these standards, because it is not good enough just to talk about good character in general, but we need to be very specific. What actually constitutes good character? What are the components that that help to spell out the ingredient of a truly successful person in terms of his character? And that's why we will be pacing through 49 different definitions of what makes good character.
Right, because you've heard people say, oh, that guy has a good character. So what do you mean by that?
And there, that's right.
There are actually qualities underneath all that.
Right.
Now, when you have hired someone and, you know, the person has character flaws and you say 60, 70%, they've let go of people in that way, do you give them a second chance sometimes? You know, you have character flaws. Can they change from that? Can they, how do you, you know, you want to give people another chance, right? How do you put that balance, the check and balance there?
Well, Freda, the very reason I'm in character training is because character can change. All right, character can change. Mental capability, more or less, you know. I can never be an Albert Einstein, you know. So we more or less know our limits when it comes to certain capabilities. But when it comes to character, I believe very strongly, as long as you can wake up every morning, you are living and breathing, you have an opportunity to change your character.
Mm.
Now, if we talk about behavioral changes in employees, there are four reasons why people misbehave.
Okay.
And once I go through these four reasons, you will know where I'm coming from, whether if there is hope. Number one, people misbehave because of a failure in communicating standards. Let's say if Tanaka is late for work and he comes to work at 9 o'clock and I ask, Tanaka, why are you late for work? Oh, I didn't know. It's 9 o'clock. In my previous job, it's 8:30. So I really can't fault him, right?
Okay.
So one way to encourage good character is to communicate exact standards. Communicate your expectations. It will help people's behavior to be aligned. Secondly, if I tell Tanaka that he is supposed to come to work at 8:30 and he is still late, right? Then I call Tanaka into the room. Hey, Tanaka, I communicated very clearly to you. We start at 8:30. Why are you still here at 9? Oh, sir, it's because, you know, I really want to come early, but I'm juggling in this new job. There are just so many things to do. I can't handle all the equipment and so on. I sleep late every day. That's why I wake up late as well. All right. Secondly, how I can help Tanaka, it's I need to put in place training, because it could be a training failure why he is misbehaving.
Okay.
And then thirdly, he knows the time, he has been trained, and he is still late. I said, Tanaka, what happened? You know it's 8:30 and I've sent you for all the available training and you're still late. And you know what Tanaka says? He looks at me with a cheeky disposition and says, Joseph, you know when I come to work, the parking lot next to me is still empty. That one belongs to my boss. He comes in at 9:30 every morning. All right. Now we have leadership failure.
Okay.
That's why, Freda, whenever I conduct character training, one of the feedback that I always get without fail for people who come to the training, they will always ask, Joseph, has my boss gone for this training?
All right.
Because when it comes to character, what they do is they look up for some source of inspiration. You know, but when you send them for skills training like Microsoft Excel or PowerPoint, they never ask this question, has my boss come for this training? They never ask. But when we send them for training to change their behavior, they will always ask, Joseph, how about my boss? So I think one of the very simple ways to encourage good character where we are is to be a person of character.
Okay, so leadership failure as well. Okay, so next week we'll go through two of the 4 or 9 character qualities and how these impact the workplace. So what will we be talking about next week?
Well, next week we will be talking about how to deal with distraction. Ah. You know, nowadays with this Gen Y, you know, they can't work unless there are multiple windows in front of them. You know, their ears are full of earphones and their hands are all over the place. And I've heard managers complaining to me saying, you know, Joseph, I understand that this generation of workers, they need to occupy themselves, they need to multitask, but the trouble is they make mistakes. They get easily distracted. So we're going to talk about the character quality of attentiveness.
Okay.
How can we build attentiveness? And this will be balanced with the character quality of initiative, recognizing and doing what needs to be done before I am asked to do it. Because we have a generation of employees today that are not only distracted, but sad to say there is idleness as well. They need to be told step by step on what needs to be done. So we're going to talk about how to build attentiveness and initiative.
All right. Any final words, Joseph?
The final words is this. I'd like to leave a picture to our listeners here. I'd like to leave a picture of a tree, a fruit tree. Now, when you see a fruit tree, you never hear anyone say, "Wow, those trees have great roots." No. The first thing you say, "Wow, those trees have great fruits." But we fail to realize great fruits come from a healthy root system. Now, we see leaders with achievements. We see leaders who have made it. But we fail to recognize what is it that caused them to have those great fruits in the first place. They had a lot of sacrifice and hard work that was put in that process. And that is the diligent and sacrificial process of building those roots. That's why, Freda, you and me, we're going to be talking for the next few weeks, because it takes time to build great roots. Next. But when the roots are there, the fruits of your success are to be enjoyed.
The next few months, actually. And we'll be talking, of course, we'll be starting our series, the Performance by Character series, next week. We're talking about these two characters and character qualities. And tomorrow in Raise Your Game, Shankar Santhiram from EQ Training and Development returns on the 10 laws that make teams work, based on Dr. John C. Maxwell's books. And we'll be talking about law number 9, the law of Mount Everest. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.